Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
DARPA, DARPA, DARPA. They champion it as the scientific leaps and bounds and empowering new scientific agendas and new breakthroughs in modern science for the last 50 years or 30 years or however. I can't remember. All I know is DARPA
right.
plus HARP equals Thundercats. Nobody wants Thundercats again. Nobody.
Right. Well, for those listening that don't know what the hell DARPA is and what the hell they're up to, DARPA is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And this is a little offshoot, an agency of the United States Department of Defense, the good old DOD. It's responsible for the development of new technologies for use by the military. DARPA has been responsible for funding the development of many technologies, which have had a major effect on the world, including computer networking, as well as NLS, which was both the first hypertext system and an important precursor to contemporary ubiquitous graphical user interface. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's my favorite, one of my favorite words, ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous. Ubiquitous, yeah. Man, I can't say that too many times, dude.
Try saying that three times. That's a hell of a tongue twister.
Exactly.
Well, a little history. We got to go through the history on how DARPA developed, and then we'll delve into all the bullshit and the fun stuff they're into now. DARPA actually began as Advanced Research Projects Agency, which was ARPA. And then they put the defense in the front of it. It was created in 1958 by good old President Dwight D. Eisenhower for the purpose of forming and executing research and development projects to expand the frontiers of technology and science, and able to reach far beyond immediate military requirements. The administration was responding to the Soviet launching of Sputnik 1 in 1957, and ARPA's mission was to ensure U.S. military technology be more sophisticated than that of the nation's potential enemies. From DARPA's own introduction. DARPA's original mission statement, established 1958, was to prevent technological surprises like the launch of Sputnik 1, which signaled the Soviets had beaten the United States into space. The mission statement has evolved over time. Today, DARPA's mission is still to prevent technological surprise to the U.S., but also to create technological surprise for our enemies. DARPA was renamed to DARPA for Defense in March of 1972, then renamed ARPA in February 93, and then renamed DARPA again in March of 96. They can't decide whether they're a DARPA or an ARPA.
Yeah.
Right.
They can never. If they just left it as ARPA, then people would start to worry and question about it. If you put defense in front of it, then the sheeple out there would go, "Oh, shit!" Then man, okay, it's for defense.
Yeah,
so it's,
yeah,
okay.
it's for defense. DARPA is independent from other more conventional military research and development, and reports directly to Senior Department of Defense Management. DARPA has around 240 personnel, about 140 technical, directly managing, and this is a joke, a $2.8 billion budget. These figures are on average, since DARPA focuses on short-term, 2 to 4 year projects run by small, purpose-built teams.
They rotate people out of there every 3 to 5 years. They rotate people out of there. Nobody stays in the DARPA research facility for longer than 5 years.
Right. Yeah. That's how intelligence and defense works. It's everything's compartmentalized. So you're only on a project from 2 to 5 years, and then you're rotated out, and then you're on to the next goody thing. In the meantime, you have a select few at the head of the Department of Defense, a handful of people that really see the big picture and everything that's in play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to research and find any of their projects, because all you're going to find on the DARPA website is little robot wars that people are building. These colleges, MIT. Oh, we have our little robot wars. Isn't this cute? But I mean, they go way deeper than that. I mean, they're working on the super soldier project, which is some scary shit. They're working with Big Pharma to develop drugs and MKUltra technology that would actually pretty much really brainwash people, wash feelings away on these soldiers so they feel no remorse for their actions to create these super soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have soldiers that don't have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, because they have no conscience in what they're doing in battle, then what's the difference? Then that's their whole thinking. That's what they want to do is wipe the memory clean. They want efficient killers that can go out and be repeatedly used until they're destroyed. You know, instead of and destroy ones like they're doing, like they do with the SEAL Team 6. How many of those boys are breathing air right now? Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, that's another story. I mean, with the SEAL Team 6, how they were expendable, and I mean...
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they're trying to get away from. See, they can only get away with... killing these soldiers off immediately after they pull some bullshit story involving them to keep them quiet
right.
so much, so many more times before the American people start to go, look here, mother, I know what you guys are doing. Okay, we figured it out. You guys are lying. You're just killing these boys for no reason. Okay, they can only do that so many more times. So if they can brainwash or manipulate their soldiers into having absolutely no conscience or no type of memory or any type of action in doing these types of things, then they don't have to kill them off. And they can still get away with their stupid little black ops and running around the world and killing people all over the place that are trying to stand away from the one-world government and just trying to live free. I think that's all that people are really trying to do, and we're trying to go around and tell them, nope, you're going to live the way we tell you.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at the history of this, the creation of DARPA was authorized by Eisenhower 58 for the purpose of forming and executing research and development project to expand mm-hmm. the frontiers of technology and science.
Well,
and
they were
to reach far beyond immediate military requirements.
If you do any type of research on Dwight D. Eisenhower, then you'll know Mr. Military Industrial Complex himself, that DARPA would be a insidious organization. It's operated completely separate from the military. Completely separate. This is
right.
a black ops type deal that was developed, and it was pretty much, you know, there's a lot of places that are going, well, it was in response to Sputnik. Oh, yeah, sure. This is all about
sure.
going into space. Sure it was. Sure it was. That's their cover. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there's a way that these wicked people can use technology in their favor to maximize their war profits, kill as many people as possible, because that's on their agenda, too. Sorry, call me crazy, call me the tinfoil hat wearer, but that's the facts. Okay, democide is the leading killer of human beings on this planet and has been for centuries now. This is their agenda. This is what they're after, buddy. This is it's a smoke screen. Their space stuff is a smoke screen for pretty much all the rest of the the microscopic dust and other things that we're about to get into with their projects when we start talking about those later.
Oh yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, really, and this links to so many different things. You know what I'm talking about? Linking to transhumanism, linking to Morgellons disease, linking to lot of these things. And these people are responsible for it because they're playing willy-nilly.
Right. Yeah, this links to HARP. This links to, like I said, super soldiers. This links to genetically modifying soldiers. This links to MKUltra, which goes back to Operation Paperclip. I mean, there's some sinister shit afoot. And I mean, if you try to go really digging in the dirt, you come up with dead ends. Because as you said, it's black ops. It's top secret. The sinister shit is deep down the rabbit hole. But like we were talking about, they have their little robot wars, and look at this little cheetah robot. This is the fastest running robot ever developed. Isn't this special?
You know, and I don't know about you, bud, but big cats and stuff like that, you know, while I think they're beautiful, majestic, and awesome creatures, I'm not particularly fond of the idea of one maybe chasing me down, having me for dinner. Now, I know robots
right.
don't eat, but I still do not want a robotic cheetah chasing me down. Why are we building robotic cheetahs? I mean, what purpose is this supposed to serve? Or are we going to start a delivery service?
No, we're gonna get into what it's about. I just want to take a few more minutes and cover the history, because to see where something is now, you have to go back to the past and the history and the development of it. And I mean, this history and all this is so much propaganda. I mean, this DARPA program has morphed into an ugly monster. It really has. And if you guys believe that there's only $2.8 billion a year going to this DARPA program, I'm going to sell you the Golden Gate Bridge. There's a lot more money involved with this. I mean, you can tie this into HAARP. You can tie this into the chemtrails, geoengineering, all these things. This is just another piece of the puzzle. And, you know, I was looking for what I was going to do the show on, and I actually saw a post about a robot that DARPA's working on that's going to be able to kill. And this robot is programmed to kill. Who is ultimately responsible?
Mm-hmm. And who is its programming to kill? You know, what are these people, you know, like I said, what use could these things be have other than for, you know, death? I mean, really, I don't see how having a cheetah or one of these things, these have to be used for battle or something like that. Now, a robotic cheetah, I'm sorry. I think that I don't see how that's the stealthiest thing. So it's got to be a blatant battle use.
Right.
And here, so that's weird. Is this the deep end that they're going off of here?
Well, going back to it, additionally, the political and defense communities recognize the need for a high-level Department of Defense organization to formulate and execute research and development projects that would expand the frontiers of technology beyond the immediate and specific requirements of military services and their laboratories. In pursuit of this mission, DARPA has developed and transferred technology programs encompassing a wide range of scientific disciplines, which address the full spectrum of national security needs. From 58 to 65, ARPA, before they were the defense, emphasis centered on major national issues, including space, ballistic missile defense, and nuclear test detection. You know, God forbid anybody else tests nukes. I mean, that's our baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
During 1960, all of its civilian space programs were transferred to the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, NASA, and the military space programs to the individual services. This allowed ARPA to concentrate its efforts on the Project Defender, that's Defense Against Ballistic Missiles, Project Vela, Nuclear Test Detection, and Project Agile, that's Counterinsurgency Research and Development Programs, and to begin work on computer processing, behavioral sciences, MKUltra, and materials science. The Defender and Agile programs form the foundation of DARPA sensor surveillance and directed energy research and development. Oh, here we go. Particularly in the study of radar, infrared sensing, and X-ray gamma ray detection. I love how they call it detection. When they're working on this shit, they are developing directed energy weapons to use on us. There's a quote, I forgot which general said that we can't test this on our enemies, but we have to test it first on our civilian population to make sure it works.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know they've been using us as the guinea pigs for many, many, many different projects, and they've been doing it for decades.
Well, they have. Well, during the late 60s, with the transfer of these mature programs to the services, ARPA redefined its role and concentrated on a diverse set of relatively small, essentially exploratory research programs. The agency was renamed the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, in 72, and during the early 70s, it emphasized direct energy programs, information processing, and tactical technologies. Yeah, they've been working on this direct energy a long, long time. As a matter of fact, Raytheon has their grubby paws in with DARPA and the Department of Defense in developing direct energy. And this all goes back, direct energy, this all goes back to the genius of geniuses that the FBI and company stole his work when he died, Nikola Tesla.
Well, that goes back to them. I think they killed Tesla. I do.
Well, nothing would shock me anymore. But it sure is funny that as soon as Tesla died, they ransacked his apartment and took all his work. All of it.
Because they figured out what he was doing.
Of course they figured out what he was doing. Look at, they took all his work. And DARPA has it. Department of Defense has it. It's all buried. Direct energy. I mean, everyone said he was a crackpot. Tesla said that he had the technology to have, he called it his death beam.
Yep. And he made four blocks four square blocks in Manhattan shake.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing that people are so wrapped up in, and they use the cloak of the Sputnik 1 and the Cold War with the Russians. And you know the scary thing is, we're going to get into it later in the show, is actually a major player, a billionaire from Russia, is actually linked up with DARPA. Imagine that.
Oh, I'll be damned. What do you say? What do you know? Look, folks, they're all in on that crap, man. They try to tell you that they're the good guys. They're not the good guys.
Take it easy. We are the good guys.
No, you're not the good guys. You're not there to be our friends. You're not there to help us. You're using this guise of, look, we're building robots and we're going to advance with robots. We'll do everything for you in the future and blah, 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 blah. No, they want to replace you with robots. Robots don't need to eat. They just need oil plugged into a charger. And since they have the keys to free energy anyway, and we don't, what does it matter to them if they've got to charge a few 100,000 or 100 million robots? It doesn't. But things keep happening. They keep living. Guess what we get, folks? We get the dogs.
And DARPA and ARPA have always, they developed this thing of called time sharing, and it's not time shares that I deal with at the Venetian and here in Vegas.
Yeah,
what it is,
operating
systems rely on these concepts invented for the MULTIC system, developed by a cooperation among Bell Labs, General Electric, and MIT, which DARPA supported by funding Project MAC at MIT with an initial $2 million grant. And you know what's funny is MIT, who worked in this MULTIC system, there's a thing called cold fusion that Tesla was basically talking about, and it's been shown a way to create a cold fusion without radiation and create energy. But you know what MIT says? They have all their scientists saying, oh, this stuff doesn't work. This is nonsense. And then you got General Electric and MIT stating that. Why? Because they know it's real.
Very much so. That's what they wouldn't take this stuff seriously, folks, if they didn't know it was real. They wouldn't go through so much to hide what it is from us if it wasn't real. This is not a real hard thing to figure out. If they're not telling you about it, it's because they don't want you to know. The reason they don't want us to know is because then they would lose money.
Right.
Don't let them have those fake slave dollars that they can hold over you. Oh, no, they've got to be able to have all way more of the fake slave dollars than you do, so then you think that you're self lesser than them.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, God forbid that we would have cold fusion energy and we don't need all these damn nuclear power plants. We could have a safe and effective way of creating energy instead of worrying about spent plutonium and Fukushima's and Chernobyl's and Three Mile Islands. It's out there. They have this technology, folks. DARPA's sitting on it. They sure can create these direct energy weapons with Raytheon to use in military applications, but oh no. We can't use cold fusion, and we can't use direct energy as a source of energy to help the people. No. Hell no.
No. Why would they do that? So they'll use it for their what's the word I'm looking at? Like you were saying, the military applications. And what I want the listeners to understand is that military applications don't always apply to other countries. Especially nowadays, ladies and gentlemen, they've written legislation that makes them think they have the ability to use the military here. If you don't believe me, ask the citizens of Boston when the military was charging down their streets and kicking in their doors. Okay, they use the military on our soil against us, and they use it in black ops more often than not.
Exactly, they do. You know they do. Now, if you want to get into this, between 76 and 1981, DARPA's major projects were dominated by air, land, sea, and space technology, tactical armor and anti-armor programs, infrared sensing for space-based surveillance, high-energy laser technology for space-based missile defense, anti-submarine warfare, advanced cruise missiles, advanced aircraft, and defense applications of advanced computing. What's that thing we got in the Utah desert? These large-scale technological program demonstrations were joined by integrated circuit research, which resulted in submicrometer electronic technology and electron devices that involved a very large-scale integration, BLSI program, and the congressionally mandated charged particle beam program. Many of these successful programs were transitioned to the services, such as the foundation technologies in automatic target recognition, space-based sensing, propulsion, and materials that were transferred to the Strategic Defense Initiative Organization, later known as the Ballistic Missile Defense Organization, now titled the Missile Defense Agency. I love how they play alphabet soup and they change the names.
Mm-hmm. None of these alphabet agencies are legal at all. I want to point that out.
Yeah, remember the big joke they made about SDI and, you know, how they showed what they were up to, but they had the media counterplay it and say, oh yeah, this, you know, with their little cartoons and making it look like it was a big joke, so everyone laughs. Oh yeah, that Star Wars, that SDI, what a joke! That's nothing.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know what you're talking about, man. You guys pumped
billions of dollars into that project.
Mm-hmm. So, but we're the ones who are crazy, you know. We're the ones who are jokers, and we're the ones who don't know what we're talking about. That's the incredible thing to me.
Oh yeah, I mean, this is out there. They've got so much crazy shit going on. I mean, with the super soldiers and what they're really doing, this shit is real, folks. I mean, don't believe me. Go down some rabbit holes, but you're going to find that they cut you off pretty quick. You can just get a couple shovelfuls in, and then you're hitting a roadblock.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's their whole. These are the, like you were saying earlier, buddy. This is one of the hardest subjects to try and research when you're, because you run into dead ends all the time. And they're talking about, you know, these robots with their avatar programs, you know, Superman underwear, you know, weird stuff. And we sit and talk about it. I feel goofy saying it. You know, Superman underwear? Yeah, but...
All right.
This is one of their projects. And if they're willing to believe in Superman underwear, don't think that the free energy and cold fusion concepts are far out there. Don't think that that stuff's crazy.
Well, and here you go. Here's the key characteristics of the organization. It's small and flexible, easily controllable. Mm-hmm. DARPA has only about 140 technical professionals. DARPA presents itself as 100 geniuses connected by a travel agent. Flat organization. DARPA avoids hierarchy, essentially operating at only two management levels to ensure the free and rapid flow of information and ideas, and rapid decision-making. Autonomy and freedom from bureaucratic impediments. In other words, no checks and balances. DARPA
mm-hmm.
has an exemption from Title V civilian personnel specifications, which provides for a direct authority to hire talents with the expediency not allowed by the standard civil service processes. Eclectic. World-class technical staff and performers. DARPA seeks great talents and ideas from industry, universities, government, laboratories and individuals, mixing disciplines and theoretical and experimental strength. DARPA neither owns nor operates any laboratories or facilities, and the overwhelming majority of the research it sponsors is done on industry and universities. Very little of DARPA's research is performed at government labs. Teams and networks. At its very best, DARPA creates and sustains great teams of researchers from different disciplines that collaborate, share the team's advances. Hiring continuity and change. DARPA's technical staff is hired or assigned to 4 to 6 years. All key staff, that is office directors and program managers, are rotated to ensure constant infusion of fresh thinking and perspectives. Project-based assignments organized around a challenge model. DARPA organizes a significant part of its portfolio around specific technology challenges. It foresees innovation-based capabilities, then works back to the fundamental breakthroughs required to make them possible. Although individual projects typically last 3 to 5 years, major technical challenges may be addressed over longer time periods, ensuring patient investment on a series of focused steps and keeping teams together for ongoing collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Outsourced support personnel. DARPA extensively leverages technical, contracting, and administrative services from other DOD, Department of Defense agencies, and branches of the military. This provides DARPA the flexibility to get into and out of an area without the burden of sustaining staff, while building cooperative alliances with its agents. These outside agents help create a constituency in their respective organizations for adopting the technology. Acceptance of failure. I love this one. DARPA pursues breakthrough opportunities and is very tolerant of technical failure if the payoff from success will be great enough. Let me read that again. Acceptance of failure. DARPA pursues breakthrough opportunities and is very tolerant of technical failure if the payoff from success will be great enough. No checks and balances with these guys. None
whatsoever. Exactly. It's sacrifice no matter the costing, and do whatever you can to achieve the objective, no matter what the objective is, which is why they rotate people out of there. So you only have a group of people working on small parts of each project, and then that way you can keep them comfortably dumb. I don't know, we're just working on the circuit boards here. That's what I do. I don't know, I'm making this, you know, robotic arm. I don't know, I'm right. Making this chassis. Something, I don't know what it is. We're not supposed to talk about it.
Right, exactly. Again, this is all compartmentalized. I just want to share this with you guys. This goes back to the super soldier. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, has a $2 billion yearly budget for research into creating a super soldier, as well as developing a synthetic police force. Working with the human genome, DARPA hopes to manipulate certain gene expressions. In experimentation, DARPA and the military-industrial pharmaceutical complex are using natural abilities that are enhanced through genetic engineering. Some of the medical feats DARPA would like to enhance are the ability of military soldiers to regrow limbs destroyed in battle. By eliminating empathy, the Department of Defense hopes to enhance a soldier's ability to kill without care or remorse, shows no fear, can fight battle after battle without fatigue, and generally behave more like a machine than a man. Scientists are researching the construction of soldiers that feel no pain, terror, and do not suffer from fatigue as tests on the wiring of the human brain are furthered by Jonathan Moreno, professor of bioethics at Pennsylvania State University. Moreno is working with the DOD in understanding neuroscience. The Pentagon allocated $400 million to this research. Further study could be passed on to the general public in order to maximize profits as well as enhance the drug's effectiveness. According to Joel Guerrero, professor at Arizona University, DARPA is learning how to genetically modify human fat into pure energy by rewiring the metabolic switch that would create soldiers that require less food. By using gene therapy and combining enhancements to alter the color of the human eye is a blending of mutations that have no basis in the natural world. In 2011, the British Academy of Medical Sciences published a paper explaining the necessity for new rules to avoid ethical missteps. Specifying on the injection of human brain cells into animals that may give animals human memories or thought consciousness as the goal should be dealt with differently than a non-modified animal. Human embryos can strengthen or deteriorate the animal test subject, which prompted Senator Sam Brownback to push the Human Chimera Prohibition Act of 2005. For people listening, what a chimera is, it's a hybrid of human and animal. This is really sick shit. Brownback expressed the need for prevention of closed-door experiments that blur the lines between human and animal, male and female, parent and child, and one individual and another individual. Ethical aspect could be defined by two mandates of consideration. They could target the hypothetical scientists creating monsters in petri dishes. They could take a close look at the science that's really happening in labs around the world. In addition to genetically modifying the human genome, the global elite are obsessed with merging man and machine, transhumanism, and immortality. This ties into a subject that I've discussed many times. Basic advancements on scientific research, the 2045 program will create a new vision of human development that meets global challenges humanity faces today. Realization of the possibility of radical extension of human life by means of cybernetic technology, as well as the formation of a new culture associated with these technologies. The globalists at the 2045 program or the 2045 initiative, for the listeners out there, take notes, investigate after the show, assert that humanity is in need of a new evolutionary strategy, consisting of a balance between the complexity of technological advances and the acceleration of informational processes to expand the limited, primitive human into a highly self-organized and technologically higher intelligence. The Project for the New American Century, PNAC, published a document entitled Rebuilding America's Defenses in 2000, and investigate PNAC and a bunch of the oligarchs involved with that and a bunch of these puppets, which frameworks a strategy for American hegemony in the near future. Hegemony, I can't pronounce this. H-E-G-E-M-O-N-Y. Identifying problem areas of the world and advising regime change of unfavorable governments so that in the end the nations of the world will be unified under the banner of American democracy. And you know how I hate democracy.
Democracy.
The revelation
sucks.
Of former U.S. President George Bush's axes of evil defined American policy under the guidelines of the PNAC with the identification of Iran, Iraq, and North Korea, which is literally mentioned in the PNAC as governments that require a regime change. In the PNAC, the globalists have described the use of scientific enhancement and clinical trials, turning the U.S. armed forces into guinea pigs for the advancement of the super soldier. While Roger Pittman, professor of psychiatry at Harvard University, is experimenting with propranolol, which is a beta blocker that is believed to erase terrifying memories, soldiers are subjected to more research while serving to alleviate the psychological effects of war. Marino explains, "The problem is, what else are they blocking when they do this? Do we want a generation of veterans who return without guilt?" Alan Snyder, professor of neuroscience in Australia, has been working to understand how transcranial magnetic stimulation, TMS, can affect higher mental processing with the use of magnetic fields to promote unfettered reasoning. The U.S. Academy of Sciences reported in 2009 that they expect to be successful in using TMS against soldiers to enhance their fighting capabilities. Marino reveals that TMS helmets could be used in battlefields to expand a soldier's technical expertise and becoming a more proficient marksman and master electronics used in training exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And that ties in with the picture that I used for the promo for the show. Actually, that picture is from a DARPA program. It's called DARPA, Dark Green. What they do is, if you can look at the picture, they have subordinates execute decisions with their little helmet. The commander chooses options. There's a sketch to decide, present options in second order effects. The sketch to plan turns sketches and voice into a plan description. The Blitzkrieg is a fast multi-resolutional combat model that generates a possibility, a portfolio of possible futures, and then the crystal ball updates assessments with information from ongoing operations. And this continues in a loop. The more I researched this and looked into this, I was up till 3 in the morning going over this crazy nonsense and trying to put together how I was going to present this to people and not sound like a tinfoil hat wearer, but, I mean, it's there. The links are in the promo.
And folks, if you do reading on, I was trying to do some reading on it beforehand and, you know, also with the working with the new Facebook page and everything else. It's mind-boggling, really. I mean, the more you sit and the more you read it, the more you get a freaking headache over it, to be quite honest. But I'm one of those rare people who's addicted to learning, and so I can't help it. And now my eyeballs are burning because I'm sitting here trying to read and listen to you talk. everything all at the same time, man. I'm freaking out, buddy. I need a drink. We're getting close to wrapping up the first hour. I think the second hour might have to be happy hour as we get into this stuff, because I need a drink to calm my nerves. The stuff is, it's insidious enough, ladies and gentlemen, on its own, but when you put it into the hands of mortal men who are always fallible, and there's always a group of mortal men that are looking to have some type of control one way or another over their fellow man, you can only lead it to believe that this agency in itself is evil. Call me crazy, call me nutty, but it's just like Austin was running down the list of projects that they got. When you have that type of technology and that type of ability, and that's what you're going after, you're not doing it for the good of mankind. You're doing it for personal benefit, whether it be personal corporate benefit or what have you. It's for personal benefit and suffering from other people.
Well, yeah, I want to get into another thing that they've been working on since 2008. It's the $3 billion super soldier program.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll play the commercial break.
Sounds like a plan.
Tell them, McCluskey. Tell them what time it is.
Well, this is from July 16, 2008, guys. So you got to realize that this has been in the works for almost 6 years now. This is a $3 billion super soldier program. They want 10 times the muscle endurance. They want man to have a 7-foot vertical leap, wall crawling, personnel flight, and more. Check this shit out. DARPA today has long-term $3 billion program to help make such a metabolically dominant soldier. In other words, the military is studying how to use technology and biology to meld man and machine and transcend the limits of the human body. Describe the project director. My measure of success is that the Internal Olympic Committee bans everything we do. The $3 billion program is definitely trying to achieve transhuman performance goals. The wearable gear, talking about your super underwear, would enable running 100-meter Olympic sprinter speed for hours, and the 7-foot vertical leap, the wall crawling, personal flight, invisibility cloaking, greatly enhanced strength, better body armor, and carrying bigger and more powerful weapons. Advanced gene therapy could provide cheetah or gorilla quality muscles in people for the 45 mile per hour speed or 5 to 10 times strength. There are suitable engines for powering the exoskeleton, and coverage of the billion and soon to be multi-billion transgenic medical, agricultural, and industrial industry. That's mixing genes between animals to make cheaper drugs or for more productive agriculture. The drugs and genetic enhancements and some technology which gets applied would allow for regeneration, that's growing the limbs, faster healing, muscle strength, enhancement up to current Olympic levels, endurance of an Alaskan sled dog, cognitive enhancement, operate without sleep for many days, without performance degradation, the metabolic energy of a 20-year-old for a 40- or 50-year-old, and immunity to pain. The metabolically dominant soldier program is managed by Joe Belitsky. He is talking about fixing your cells so you can live off your fat. Belitsky acknowledges the potential for spin-off technologies. $40 billion a year goes into the weight loss industry in this country, he muses. This will change that.
Mm-hmm.
Regeneration, better healing, better immune systems, would all revolutionize healthcare costs and healthcare effectiveness. So also trillions in economic benefit as a side effect of super soldier success. DARPA is also trying to enhance cognition, training, and giving energy levels of youth to the elderly. Those could provide multi-billion or even trillion-dollar per year boosts to the U.S. and world economy.
What a crock. I mean,
Project
really, what a crock of crap.
Look at how they spin this propaganda, and the sheeple gobble this shit up. Regeneration, projects in the pipeline range from drugs that will boost muscle and energy by a factor on steroids. The project is jokingly termed the Energizer Bunny and Fatigues, to wearable cooling gloves that regulate body temperature and prevent soldiers from getting overheated and thus tired, even on the hottest desert day. Keeping the body cool increases endurance. The program is going well beyond some current, relatively safe and conservative forms of performance enhancement. Safer SARM steroids, endurance-enhancing drink. A major focus is on helping the soldier's body to better deal with trauma and damage. One such is the pain vaccines. Coming out of a program at Renat Neuroscience, Pfizer acquired Renat Neuroscience in 2006. Researchers are hopeful that these will block the sense of pain for almost a month, describes DARPA Michael Goldblatt. The substance is block intense pain in less than 10 seconds. Its effects last for 30 days. It doesn't stifle your reactions. If you touch a hot stove, you will still have the initial shock. Your hand will still automatically jerk away, but after that, the torment is gone. The product works on the inflammatory response that is responsible for the majority of subacute pain. If you get a shot, you feel the bullet, but after that, the inflammation and swelling that trigger agony are substantially reduced. The company has already hit its first milestone in animal testing and is prepping reports for scientific conferences. Now, you got to remember, this is from 2008, gang. This is about 6 years ago. The plan for new body armor that instead of Kevlar is filled with nanomaterials that are connected to a computer. Computer-controlled liquid armor. It would normally be as flexible as regular uniform made of fabric, but like how a crash bag works inside a car, it would activate whenever the system detects a bullet strike and turn hardest steel in an instant. Gloves could turn into real-life brass knuckles. The fabric could even be woven in with nanomuscular fibers that stimulate and simulate real muscles, giving soldiers an estimated 25 to 35% better lifting capability. So myostatin strength boost to get Olympic athlete strength levels, and then 25 to 35% boost from a soft suit. Use better exoskeletons for more strength enhancement. From deflecting bullets to powers of invisibility, as military analyst Max Boot writes, such a suit truly would give ordinary mortals many of the attributes of comic book superheroes.
Fucking X-Men.
And then they go on to talk about the Z-Man project, which creates gecko-inspired gloves and boots for wall crawling.
Oh, because you got to be Spider-Man style too, huh?
Well, yeah. Then they show here the exoskeleton flying vehicle with a maximum speed of 113 miles per hour, a range of 184 miles, and endurance 2+2 hours, whatever the hell that means.
No, I'm not sure, buddy.
Yeah, then that Well, let's go to commercial break, and then I'll pick up here, and then we're going to really start digging in the dirt.
All right. We do have a caller on the line as well, buddy. And she's a pretty special caller. If you want to bring her in before we do the break, or we want to bring her in after the break.
Is that who I think it is? That is Liberty Lisa. Let's bring her in for a quick sec, and then we'll roll into the break so she can say hi to everyone.
Hi,
hello,
guys.
Liberty Lisa. How you doing, hon?
Hey, doing good. I've just been chilling today. I had a really busy day busy week last week, so I took today off.
Good.
Very good.
Listening to your show, that's a trip. That's a trip. That's kind of freaky.
Harsh reality.
What do you mean,
yeah,
freaky? We're a bunch of tinfoil hat wearers.
You know what? The further you go down these rabbit holes, the more you believe, because it's a crazy, crazy world. It's nothing is what it seems. And when you start getting the big picture and the agenda, this sort of thing isn't such a far stretch anymore.
It totally isn't. And that's the terrible thing about it, is like it's almost like a bad sci-fi movie, one of those B-movies that they would come up with in the 70s. You know, it's just so horrible, you know, and everybody knew they're horrible. And I think the people that were making them at that time knew they were horrible. But this is the reality that they're coming through with it. And they want to do the Star Trek shit. They want to do the Star Wars stuff. They want to do the X-Men, you know, Captain America, everything. They want to make that a reality. Now, while I always wanted as a kid to grow up and have superpowers and all that other shit, of course, I would have been a supervillain more than likely because I'm kind of a prick, but to have that ability in the wrong people's hands, like I said, it would develop these supervillains. And unless you're going to luck out and get a quote-unquote superhero that like they have in the comic books, I seriously doubt you'll get that first. I think you'll end up getting the supervillain first. And with no superhero to defeat a supervillain, guess what? A lot of people end up dead.
Well, you know,
time.
If you look at GMO food, they've taken mm-hmm. something that God created, and they've, you know, injected into it genes that don't belong through bacteria. So they didn't create anything; they just polluted something. And this is the same thing. I mean, they're polluting human flesh. So just like GMO food is now toxic and poisonous and cancer-causing and everything else, what's going to happen to these human beings? Do they have a soul? Do they have a conscience?
Mm-hmm. Maybe, or maybe they end up with these muffed-up diseases like Morgellons and shit.
Yeah.
Well, you see what they're doing. I mean, they're using this nanotechnology to create these exoskeletons. They're tied in with Pfizer, which is one of the big players for Big Pharma, to produce mm-hmm. a drug that will take away remorse.
Right. And then if they don't like the soldier or the soldier goes rogue, I'm sure they've got some sort of self-termination, you know, software plan or implementation of some sort,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll take him out, you know, push the red button, whatever, and he's off, he's done.
Well
exactly.
Remember that
inhalant that they were giving the soldiers, the anti-suicide inhalant?
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably this propanolol or whatever the hell the name of it is, this fucking Pfizer drug. I'm sorry. I dropped the F bomb.
We're into the second hour already. We're 6 minutes in the second hour. So.
Let's play the commercial break, and then I'm going to touch on the point that Lisa talked about when I went to the Super Soldier Summit here last year, and actually met people that were involved in this MKUltra and involved with this DARPA and Department of Defense technology that are used up and discarded.
Sounds like a plan, brother man. Send us on there. I'll get it playing.
We are the more wheels of God, better I like it. I'm the brother of a truck driving mother. Boogity, 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 boogity.
You talk about war with the government, and everybody's, no, we can't do that. That would be wrong. I don't know about anybody else out there, but I've never picked any candidate. Nobody that I've ever said, hey, let's get this guy up and put him in office. No, never happened. They always give us and say, here's your selection. And then we got to vote on whoever they give us. And whoever they are is being picked for us by some establishment of people that we don't even know. I speak in general. I always have, always will. I don't know why I do that, but I do. When I speak, I just flat out speak in general.
Catch a ride with the Dashboard Outlaw. Sunday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Only on Truth Emergers Radio.
Have you heard any state, federal, or local government passing a law, statute, an ordinance, a regulation, anything, policy, a department, anything that enhances freedom and liberty? Can anybody think of that? I can't. I've never heard of anything. Everything that they make as a law is restricting us, but not them.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to NWO Truth Radio. This is the Impending Revelation Radio Show. I am your host, James Impending. It's the truth now. Everything in the universe runs like a Swiss watch. Every part of the universe is dependent on every other part. The universe isn't as random as they would have you think. those of us who understand physics understand that reality is nothing more illusion. The numbers are here. I want you to check all my numbers, too. You can go back and listen to this. Check all my numbers, because you're going to find out that I'm right.
Impending Revelation with James Impending. Saturday nights, 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Central, midnight Eastern Time, only on NWO Truth Radio.
Deeper and deeper into this as we go, until I prove my point.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Friday Night Super Show.
Hello, cutie pie. Woo! Oh, hell no!
Tag team champions of the world! There is evil!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You lack discipline.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm out of control. I apologize for that.
Friday Night Super Show.
Tag Team Champions of the World!
Are elephants and elephant bulls fight with each other?
Now we are having fun.
Woo! I'm not God.
Stop whining.
Friday Night Super Show.
Tag Team Champions of the World!
Friday Night Super Show. 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Truth Emerges Radio and NWO Truth Radio. You are awake, be aware.
Does the mommy spider teach the spider how to do that?
You son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. You son of a bitch.
Well, Arnold and Mr. Panic Attack were both very honored to be a part of that promo there. They came in and did it at, well, just for a bag of donuts, really, was all I bought. And not even the good ones. They're this shitty little dollar bag of donuts. These guys are desperate for work. I mean, what can I tell you?
Well, you know what clicked this in my mind to do this show on DARPA? It was, I think it was Brandon Council. He actually tagged a few of us in a link. Mm-hmm. And it's called When Robots Can Kill, It's Unclear Who Will Be to Blame. It's by Stephen Henn. It's from March 21st, 2014. And they show that they have this thing, it's called Cal on Mars. It's called the Modular Advanced Arms Robotic System. Can be transformed from a weaponized robot to one with an arm and gripper by changing out its modules. The fast advancing field of robotics is opening up serious questions about the military-based motivations behind some of the coolest tricks our machines can now be programmed to perform. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, helped create the Internet. But these days, DARPA is probably best known for its robotics contests. Its latest robotics challenge was inspired by the Fukushima nuclear disaster, which happened 3 years ago. Back then, nuclear engineers rushed to shut down reactors at Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. But fear of radiation poisoning kept utility workers at the plant from shutting off the effective cooling reactors sooner. Eventually, three of the plant's six reactors melted down. Well, we know that's bullshit. All six of them melted down. There is good evidence that if we had been able to send in some kind of robot that had that robot do relatively simple things, simple manual tasks like opening valves, opening doors, getting to control panels, a lot of the following disaster could have been averted, says Brian Gerke of the Open Source Robotics Foundation. The goal is to build that robot, one that can open doors, move debris, turn a valve, even drive a conventional car. In December, 16 teams of roboticists converged in Miami to compete. While the robots moved slowly and some were tripped up by seemingly trivial obstacles, the event pushed humanoid robots to do things that have never been done before. They may seem like an entirely altruistic enterprise, designing a robot for disaster response, but the event is also pushing the robotics field toward goals military planners have long sought. At the end of the day, people need to remember what the D in DARPA stands for. It stands for defense, says Peter Singer. Singer is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute and authority of Wired for War, the robotics revolution and conflict in the 21st century. Too often, scientists try and kid themselves, he says. They act like because I work on the system that it is not directly a weapon system, that I have nothing to do with war. Singer recalls speaking to one researcher recently who was working on a project funded by the Navy. He was working on a Navy contract on a robot that would play baseball. "I don't have anything to do with war. Come on. You think the Navy is funding this because they want a better Naval Academy baseball team?" Singer asks, for example, how tracking and intercepting a fly ball could be analogous to tracking and intercepting a missile. It's hard to find a roboticist working today in academia who hasn't taken some kind of military funding. Lila Nurbakhsh is one of the few. Well, Nurbakhsh acknowledges the good that could come from DARPA's recent push to build a semi-autonomous research and rescue robot. He also sees an obvious dual use. If researchers set out to build a robot that can drive a regular car, climb a ladder, and operate a jackhammer, that means that the robot can manipulate an AK-47. That means that robot can manipulate the controls of all conventional military machines as well, he says. Nurbakhsh thinks DARPA is pushing roboticists to build machines that can make complex decisions quickly and independently. "We are making our robots even more autonomous," he says. The research, Nurbakhsh says, is pushing us closer to the point where robots will decide when to kill. "It's a really interesting boundary to cross," he says. Imagine using image recognition when a drone is flying in the air and matching faces against faces on a kill list, he suggests. If a robot like that made a mistake, who would be responsible? The programmer? The manufacturer? The military commander who launched it on its mission? It forces us to confront whether we really control machines, says Ryan Callow, a law professor at the University of Washington. Callow says these tensions won't just play out in the military, but will crop up whenever we are tempered to allow robots to make decisions on their own. This ties into the singularity. like, when we get to the point where machines and artificial intelligence is going to surpass man's. That's a scary place to be.
No, when these things become self-aware, how can we say that when these things become self-aware, they won't view us as a threat? Just as,
right.
And I know, you're talking about Terminator, you're talking about the movie, you've been hanging out with that Arnold guy for too long, man. You know, that's what your problem is. But it might be.
You know what? Actually, you remember Richard Long, right, Austin?
Right.
He's a scientist who specializes in artificial intelligence, and he said, you have no idea how close we are to making it self-aware. He said, you have no idea.
Right, and this is a guy that is just a cog in the ladder. I'm not belittling his brilliance, because Richard Long is a brilliant man, by all means. But again, this goes back, when you're talking the Department of Defense and DARPA, this is all compartmentalized. One hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing, and there's a very, very select few that see the big picture.
And that's the danger of it. That's why they've been pushing all the leaders for democracy. It's because if only a select few see the big picture and know the truth, they can be easily overruled by the majority of sleeping sheeple. Now, can't they?
Right. And this goes back to the singularity that Kurzweil has been talking about for years. It's happening.
Mm-hmm. What we need to have, I don't know, man. It's like I was talking with Dennis last night on the Friday Night Super Show. It's so frustrating to get up every day and have been fighting as long as we have, especially the three of us here on the line, and still get up every day and still see the same tyranny continue to go on, and more or less even getting worse. And knowing, like Lisa was saying earlier, going down the hole, and how much farther you get down to it, how none of this sounds crazy to us, because we've, you know, dug down this rabbit hole so much, and this is actually all highly likely. All the negative things we've been speculating upon with DARPA's involvement, it's all highly likely. I mean, look at the actions of our people that are quote-unquote government agencies. Mind you that none of these letterbox agencies are legally part of the government. None of them. Think about that when we start to talk about these things, guys, because this is where what we're trying to get across. We're being bamboozled, lied to, hoodwinked, flim-flam, wool pulled over our eyes even, about the truth. The truth is, none of these letterbox agencies have any legal authority in this country. Name one part of the Constitution of the United States that says, Article 4, Section 23 says you can create DARPA, you can watch the people, you can notify, you can create the FBI, you can create the DEA, you can create this, you can create the IRS, you can create that. They can't. This is where we're getting away from things, folks. This is why I believe the Constitution is so important. And it's such a dire need for us to return to that and hold our government accountable to it. 545 criminals, and then they subcontract out their crime to DARPA, to HARP, to DEA, the FBI, to CIA. And now these congressmen and women all going, oh, the CIA, man, we're worried the CIA might be getting out of control. What? Like, who's that toe-looking bitch, Feinstein? Bitch looks like a foot. shit. Oh, now they're spying on me. I don't know what that's not right. They can spy on the people all they want, but they can't spy on me. That's not right. Are you kidding me? These people are trying to all of a sudden play innocent. Oh, we didn't know any better. I'm sorry, we're in the second hour, but fuck these people. They're all criminals, and they all deserve to hang. Find the tallest tree in the land and string them up. We got another caller on the line there, buddy, another good friend of the show.
Bring them in.
Well, I have to, you know. It's, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Renegade Smith. How you doing there, brother? Renegade.
Renegade.
Renegade, Gade.
And then he dropped.
I know.
We lost him.
We have an echo.
All right.
Echo.
Echo.
Right. Well, there's a link on the promo for the listeners.
Could you get your daddy on the phone?
Wow. Yeah, it's from technology.com, where science meets fiction. It's a DARPA project list, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, with a bunch of links. Here's a list of DARPA-related projects presented on the Technology site. DARPA, Avatar program coming soon, but will soldiers want to? How much of your tax money would you spend on a program to recreate Avatar, a movie in which a human is uploaded to a robot? DARPA biometrics at a distance knows you by heart. Demonstrate the ability to collect, localize, and evaluate physiological signals, that is, heart rate, at distances greater than 10 meters. Robust automatic translation of speech, DARPA's Universal Translator. Bring together its diverse speech translation efforts into an all-in-one package. DARPA cyborg insects with nuclear-powered transponders. The goal of the radioisotope transmitter work is to power the insects that the group is developing for DARPA. Smart video cams, DARPA's mind's eye. A smart camera with sufficient visual intelligence that it can report on activity in an area of observation. See how this ties in to intelligence gathering and the ubiquitous age? And DARPA shall smite the wicked, dynamically forecast when deadly moles deep within government departments will likely strike. Oh, there we go, the war on terror. Farmed blood is DARPA's true blood, mass-produced synthetic blood for transfusions. Cyborg insect comm system planned by DARPA, now being designed to communicate with each other by modulating their usual calls. DARPA's restorative injury repair dream. They'd like to see a device that can repair skin as well as nerves and bones. This is all real. This is what DARPA's working on, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Fracture putty for compound fractures. Fracture putty could rapidly restore a patient to ambulatory function while normal healing ensues with dramatically reduced rehabilitation time.
We got Renegade back. Renegade's back with his hand up, buddy. So go ahead and finish up what you're saying.
Well, go ahead. Bring in the Renegade there. I got plenty here to talk about. I got the research done on this one.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I got to make this quick. My phone's doing some stuff I've never seen it do. It's just dropping the calls to your network like crazy, and it keeps this weird sign keeps coming up on my phone. And all of a sudden, I got like one bar, and I just had a full bar graph on my phone.
My whole computer just went crazy too.
Yeah, right. When you started talking about DARPA is when my phone just went boop and just My wife's like, what the heck?
Yeah, they love us.
Hey, want to send a shout-out to all the scumbag government alphabet agencies out there. You can kiss our freedom-fighting asses.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I want to share something real quick on the subject. I was watching that TV show Big Bang Theory. You know, it's pretty funny. Well, I catch episodes here and there. The one guy, Sheldon, was wearing a shirt. And on the shirt, I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures of, like, it shows, like, a monkey becoming, like, a half-human, and then it becomes, like, a human, and then it shows... Right. But then there's one with the revolution with the guy throwing the Molotov cocktail. Well, this one had a monkey, you know, changing into, like, a half-monkey, half-human, into a human, then into a robot. And this was just on the other night. Yeah, there's your preconditioning, your predictive programming, whatever you want to call it.
That's messed up right there. Seriously, man. I mean, well, they're doing that a lot. And, shoot, I was over with my kids last night. I went over to visit my son and his girlfriend, and all their friends were over there last night. I spent about 3 hours. I should have recorded it. Because I spent about 3 hours just going off on these kids about what they should know. I had the whole room captivated and everything. And it's just the look on their faces of them learning.
Oh, yeah.
Was what was priceless. They had bought a movie, and they were like, yeah, we're going to watch a movie and everything. I was like, we're not watching this MK Ultra pre-programming crap. Midway through my spiel, as I was talking about the Constitution and the law, one of the kids got up and turned the TV off. I mean, it was sitting there with the DVD screen running, you know, whatnot, because they were expecting to watch this movie. And one of the kids got up and turned the TV off and sat back down to listen.
I'm telling you guys, last year when I was down at the Free Your Mind conference down in Philly, they were talking about all this stuff. And I left, you know, Fritz Springmeier was the last one to speak. And they did, like, a question and answer session. And I'll tell you what, man, driving home that night, I can't even say I was humble, but I just had a bad feeling. Like, this thing is darker and deeper than so many people even know. I mean, the stuff that we're talking about now, the stuff that you see on TV is very real. You know, if they're trying to get it out there, it's already been done. I mean, Lee, we were talking the other night about the reanimated dog head. I mean, that was back in the 1930s with a Russian scientist. Dang well that today they've already reanimated human bodies, mixed them with, robotic parts. I mean, it's all there. I'm sure that they have a full-on cyborg. I can guarantee you that they have full-on cyborgs walking amongst us. We just don't know that they're there. You know, we don't know what to look for, or... You know what I mean?
I said before,
we're looking at a future.
Buddy, I think I do know what to look for. A badge.
A red eye? Like Terminator?
A badge.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
no,
right.
A badge. I mean, think about it. Look at all the police brutality and everything else, buddy, man. These guys have to have some, human beings would have a conscience about what they're doing.
Very true.
Right.
That would only stand to reason.
Well, if they purposely hire, people that are more controllable and, from what I understand, a lower IQ. So, that would give you the ability to control what what the reactions are going to be. And then if you go and you tell them, to be aggressive and use violence, and that's okay, and they're above the law,
can I ask you a question?
You're breeding psychopaths.
How much longer is the human race as a whole going to stand back and let these mad scientists get away with what they're doing? It's bad enough they're destroying our food supply. And through their, GMOs and their geoengineering, I mean, who knows what they're doing to the plant life, to the animal life, and to us. You know, it's mad science going out of control. You know, enough is enough. How much is enough? And why are we letting this happen? You know, we have a nation and a world of freaking sheeple. And it's really gotten to the point where we really have to question, like, what should and what shouldn't we be doing here? What should we be tampering with, and what should we just let alone? You know, we're not God. None of us are. And there's just some things
right.
we should not be messing with, like these babies, 30 babies born with three different DNAs from three different mothers in them. I mean, what is that? You talk about gene confusion. Like, who knows what they're going to produce when they have children? It's disgusting.
Well, this goes back. This goes back to these chimeras, where they actually are trying to process human and animal genomes together to create new species.
Done, my brother. That's been done back in the biblical times. Genesis 6 talks about the Nephilim. You know, there's still Nephilim programming going on today. Look at the Starbucks logo. It's a siren. Half human, half fish. I mean, you look at Greek mythology. It talks about, like, minotaurs and centaurs and cyclopses. That's not myths. Those things were real. You know, anytime they find a skeleton from one of these beasts or one of these beings, the Smithsonian Institute quickly grabs it and it just disappears.
Right.
They don't want people knowing about this stuff. Why? Because
right.
people are going to start asking a lot of freaking questions.
You're absolutely right. Guys, we got another caller on the line by the name of Joe, and he's got a real interesting question for all of us, if we can bring him in here real quick.
Absolutely.
All right, we're bringing him on in. Joe, you're live.
All right. Yeah, my question is, what are you guys going to do to remedy the situation?
Very good question. Well, the first thing we have to do is pull this out of the shadows and put it out in the open so people can see what the hell is going on. And hopefully some people get pissed off.
All right. So in other words, you want to keep spreading the word until somebody else takes action.
Well,
no,
you know, we have to spread the word. We have to let people know so they can start opening their eyes and seeing what's going on around them. You know, I'm personally out there fighting for our constitutional rights in Colorado. I just submitted 7 different potential amendments to the Colorado Constitution that's going to, you know, supersede all these corrupt laws legislation that went through the House here, and it's going to change the way things are run here. And, you know, you can do, what you do is you look at the problem and you find a way to attack it. You just figure it out, and each person has to do something, fight on some front. And if we all did that, this world would be a different place.
Mm-hmm. And exposure number one is the first step. Okay, exposure of these processes and what is going on and what the plans behind them are is actually the first step in taking action towards it. The next step after that is to start taking these problems and considerations and concerns to our state legislators. And I'm talking about the local ones. I'm not talking about the Washington, D.C. ones, because we all know they're on the damn take anyway, right? That we have to start bringing this into a state view, a local view, to where states, under the amendment of the Constitution, states' rights, the 10th Amendment, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, can supersede any type of federal activity within their state boundaries. Once you start getting your states to be able to resist these things and nullify these governmental actions, then we can start making real progress on it. Like our guest last night on Friday Night Super Show, Ted Jotty, said, look up with the 10th Amendment Center. Get with these people. Look at how they're doing it. 17 out of 23 states are already trying to nullify getting ready to nullify the NDAA, nullify Obamacare, nullify these other things. Guess what else they can do? They can nullify this crap. They can nullify any type of DARPA activities over their airspace. We can do all this stuff, and that's what we have to do.
Well, you have to look at another thing, too, that Ted brought up from the 10th Amendment Center in Utah, where the NSA has this huge multi-billion-dollar monolith, this big supercomputer that's spying on everybody and collecting all this information on everybody. They were talking about, on a local level, just saying, hey, you get no water. How the hell are they going to cool those supercomputers?
Exactly. they're going to cut their water off. And they obviously and legally can. Literally, they can.
It's only about the NSA.
Local government's jurisdiction to regulate business. And if that business is a detriment to their constituents' existence, as the NSA is, by all means, they can tell them to get and kick rocks.
Right. Well, what other point were you going to make, Joe, about the NSA?
Well, I was wanting to find out if you were talking about the NSA facility. I think it's in Utah. That was in the news about how the state legislature was debating whether or not to cut off the water supply.
These are things that we as a people can do. When you're fighting the battle on so many fronts, I understand it's difficult and can be overwhelming, but it's from unknown. The longest journey starts with the first step.
It certainly does, and that's where we're at really with this type of discussion. Is we're in the first step, and that's the key is exposure. That's what we're doing here on the show this evening.